Sunday morning. And all his promises are yes and amen. So glad you're here, that on Father's Day you had many choices and that you came here is a blessing to us. I hope that we're a blessing to you today. You saw I brought my tissues up. It's because I couldn't find a beach towel. Oh my gosh, today is going to be a fun day. I always believe that to understand where you're going, it's important to know where you've been, and that sets the stage. My brother Derek, if you were here, if you weren't, catch it on podcast because you missed some really good preaching. He's handled the last 2 weeks. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, he preached Jesus over everything. What a message. Without a doubt, no wrinkle, no guess. Jesus over everything. I always like to introduce my message and say, I hope you don't remember anything I say today, I just hope you remember what I made you think about. Because that's the application, not what I have to say. So his second message after Jesus over everything was the gospel of Krispy Kreme. Amen. Amen. And what a great message. It truly, I can't remember a thing he said. But every time, Monday, I left and took off on a tour of Alabama and Georgia. Got to Dothan, Alabama about 7 o'clock Monday night. These guys can tell you on the pastoral staff because I sent them all a copy of the hot donut sign. And all I could think of is they know Derek and they know Jesus. You know, if they got a hot crispy sign. But you can imagine that it really spurred a lot of conversation in our pastor's meeting this week. Because Derek's saying, maybe we can do in communion, Krispy Kreme and coffee. And no, we can't do Krispy Kreme and coffee. And so then he brought up, maybe we can do Chick-fil-A and their sauce. And it was getting traction with Josh till he remembered that they're closed on Sunday. So I want y'all to know that the Lunchables are here to stay. You know, that the body and blood of Jesus Christ will still be what you get when we have communion, likely next week. Today's about Father's Day. And before I start, I just want to open up in prayer. And this prayer is the same always, Lord. I'd ask you to empty me of me and fill me with your word. Give me the message that you would have me speak today and give me the power and strength to bring that message to your children. Amen. We'll start with the scripture that's in your bulletin. Romans 8, 14 to 17. I want you to know, I believe everything in here. From Genesis to maps, it's all true, every bit of it. And it speaks to us if we'll spend time in the relationship with the Father. He will give us revelation through this word. If you narrowed it down and said you can't take your Bible with you, you can only take one book, I would personally take Romans. The way that Paul lays out the salvation, the love of God, what we can do, that we've not merited that, but yet he's given it to us, then that's the book I want. And if you further pared it down, said I could only have one chapter, this is the one I'm taking, chapter 8. So if I could, and if you want to read along with me, and if I could find mine, here we go. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, his children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. What in the world is the spirit of adoption? We'll unpack that in a minute, and you can see that the message is adoption is the only option. So you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out.
Abba Father.
Abba Father. Father is a biological term. Abba is a relational term. It means daddy.
Amen.
Daddy. So it reflects a personal, loving relationship. He is Luke. I am your father, but he ain't his dad. So, daddy, daddy, daddy.
I love daddy.
The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God. We are God's heirs. What he owns, we own. Everything within is at our use and disposal. And, joint heirs with Christ. He is my brother. You are his sister, his brother. Joint heirs with Christ. We have grafted in through adoption. I'd love to stop right there, put a period, and ignore that last little trailing deal, but it's there too. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Don't like that suffering part. I was really liking that my dad and my daddy owns everything. You know, earthly fathers, our kids don't come with an operating manual. When I thought that, God says, you don't read operating manuals anyway. So, how many of you on Christmas Eve are putting together a bicycle? Do you go through that manual page by page? No, I can put it together. I got a few tools. And I think that it is probably some crazy sick guy on the assembly line that throws in a couple extra bolts and nuts, so I get to the end and go, I wonder what I forgot. But there's no operating manual. So our fathers do the best they can. I really believe that. I think my dad did the best he could. Was he perfect? No. Did I love him? Yeah. Did I want to please him? More than you know. Did he make mistakes? Plenty. Do I make mistakes? I got four. I got two boys, two girls. My youngest happens to be here today. That's real fun. He's going to get picked on. You just wait and see. He won't come back. But we make mistakes. We hurt our children. Not intentionally. But sometimes we're overbearing. Sometimes we can hurt psychologically. We can hurt physically. Heaven forbid, and criminally, we can hurt sexually. It's not the way God planned it. But I remind you that this is not his domain. This is Satan's domain. And this is a fallen world. and we're passing through. But he cares about us with every breath we take. And he grieves with us as we do. My dad, he was, I think controlling would be kind. He wanted, you know, he was reasonable. He said, let's be reasonable, Charles. Let's do it my way. So this might be a good place to tell you that I was named after my father. He was named after his father. So I am Charles Augustus Lamont III. And there's even more to that story. I'm the second third, but that's way too much to unpack today. My dad, hence the football, and we'll talk about sports because I think sports are a great connection to life and this walk of faith that we have. My dad was a pro football. That's why I brought these tissues. Was a pro football player. And so his boy was going to be a pro football player. Forgive me. But that's okay because dads want what's best. They kind of sometimes want to live vicariously through their children, accomplish the things. I tell my kids all the time, if I can keep you from the scraped elbows and the bruises that I self-inflicted, not that my dad, but that I self-inflicted, I think that's my job. I did purpose in my life to not live through them athletically. It might be fair to tell you that my mom was a semi-pro baseball player. And the first Charles was a doctor. So my grandfather was a doctor. My dad played pro football. My mom was quite the athlete. Do you see where we're going? All I had to be was a pro football, pro baseball, MD, and everybody. Those are a dime a dozen, aren't they? So they didn't intend to. And I was gifted. And so I mirrored. So you can imagine, as their marriage fell apart as I was about 12 to 15, and then it really took up speed after that, I graduated from high school as a junior to get away from the mess. Go to the University of Texas, and Dad says, you are going to try out for the Longhorns, right? Dad, Division I, 72, by the way, they went 9-1, beat Alabama in the Cotton Bowl. That's a losing season in Texas, by the way, that one loss. They don't play there. But sure. So, talked to the coaches, came out. It was June, 45 years ago today. 45 years ago, hot. Texas makes Florida look like the Arctic from a temperature. Real simple test. Put 11 defensive guys on the field. Give me the ball. The rule is, if I can get to the other end standing, we'll talk. Adrenaline pumping, pro football dad, everything riding on it, and I take off. And knock down a couple of guys, confidence getting up, speed coming. I get all the way to the end. I can hear the call. I turn around and come back. The guys aren't near as excited about hitting me coming back. Coach Royal comes up. He says, oh, my gosh, the coaches and I have never seen anything like that before. As a matter of fact, we've decided that if you'll get off that horse and give it another try. So I didn't play ball at Texas. But I got on. I take heart now that Corinthians says, and I put aside those childish things and got about my business. But I wanted to please. I wanted to please my father. Let's talk about this adoption thing. And can you put the next slide up as I tell you about it? The book of Romans is interesting. Written by Paul to the church in Rome. A church Paul didn't form and never attended. But he's writing them and encouraging them and expanding their vision of faith. Well, it's not a Jewish church predominantly. It's Gentile. That's good news for you and me, because the word wasn't just for the chosen people. It was for everybody. So you had the heathens and the Gentiles and the idol worshipers and everything in between. A few Jews, obviously, probably were the seeds to that church. And Paul's writing. So how do you tell them, when all they've ever heard, and I know this is shocking to you, but your Savior was a Jew. How do you tell this people that with Jewish law, there is no, you either are or you're not, and it's based upon your mother? So how do you say, we want you to be part of the kingdom of God who has chosen his people? His son, his direct son, has died for you. Interesting story. What does it have to do with me? And that's where Paul writes in these words, where you receive the spirit of adoption. Because Paul claims, cost him his life, by the way, when he was about to be killed, he protested and said, you're going to let a citizen of Rome perish under these Jewish priests' law? He appealed to Caesar. So he recognizes he's got dual citizenship. He's the Jew of Jews. He's a Roman citizen. So he's talking to the Church of Rome in a level they can plug into. Because Roman law allowed adoption, and it was extra special, unbelievable. If you wanted and agreed to be adopted by a Roman man, you had to say so. He had to say so and agree. And then everything I own, he owned, is yours. That's what we're reading. You get a new identity. All of your debts are wiped out, and any family debts you had are wiped out. You get a clean slate. Pretty cool. Guess what? That Roman can disown his birth child, but he can never disown you. It is an irrevocable adoption. And that's what God does for us. Most of us were not born into that lineage of the 12 tribes, his chosen people. We've heard the gospel. We've been compelled by the love of the message. And should we make that step and accept the offer, it's irrevocable. You can't lose it. You will inherit the kingdom. Some of you that have heard me speak before, a father could disown his natural child, but this was not an option with his adopted children. Once adopted, the bonds could not be broken. You were bound by your decision. I've spoken before, and you say, Charlie, you tell me I got to surrender to win. And in that message, I told you you can be 200-0 down in the game. You say, I quit. I surrender. instantly they pronounce you the champion. That's how the relationship with Christ to God is. You heard me say, empty me of me. That's what we're doing when we surrender. We say, fill me up with your good news. Fill me up with who you are. You've heard me say something about being born again. Now, isn't that weird? Okay. I was born, I got to be born again. And then I go on to say, you need a heart transplant. So I got to surrender, I got to be born again, I need a heart transplant, and now I got to be adopted. Guess what? It's all the same thing. It's one and done. All four acts are all the same decision, one decision. Do you know what the problem is with earthly fathers? It's not that they don't want to do good. It is that they are our role model. That's what we see. We live with that one. We read about this one until he comes and lives in our heart through the Holy Spirit. But we live with it. And psychologists tell us that how your father was to you is how you see the Heavenly Father. That's your starting point. So if you had domination, if you had anger and violence in your home, you think the Father of the universe is a controlling, angry man. That's where you start from. So it's no wonder that it's hard to say, I got to surrender to a guy like that. No, thank you. I've seen that. It didn't work. So we have to really slowly come to realization that it is bigger than us. You know, but I love the way God's scripture comes to us. And he says, if you are as evil as you are, what father, when his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he, think about the times, if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake? I was playing my message early this morning in my mind, coming over the Volano Bridge and beautiful day and the water, and I was thinking about that and rewriting the story in the Bible about loaves and fishes and 5,000 people. And the disciples say, does anybody have anything? And this one boy says, my dad packed my lunch. Boy, what a different story we'd have if there had been a rock and a snake in there instead of a couple of fish and a loaf of bread. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go there. I just telling the truth. That may be how corn nuts and gummy worms were. I don't know. That's how that would have been invented back then to feed 5,000. Okay, so you surrender, you're adopted. Everything, Psalm 50, 10 and 11, if we could put that up, is it just easy street then? Because we're told, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm a Texas boy, I've told you that. That's a big ranch, 1,000 hills and all the cattle. That, we're on easy street. We don't have to work, we don't have to do anything. But then I go back up to that Romans, I hate that verse. We suffer with him that we may also be glorified together. Oh my gosh. I guess you have to take all of this. If I told you that I believe it all, is it cafeteria style and I can pick and choose? Well, you say, Charles, when I got saved, I'm never any more saved than I am at that moment. Why didn't God just yank us up into heaven right then? Great question. You ask it when you get there, because I've not come to an answer myself. But what I really believe is this is a fallen world. And he, and as Brittany sang and the praise and worship, and oh my gosh, they take us right to the throne of grace and put us in a position of worship. He is not content. He leaves the 99 looking for the one. So he needs your feet and your voice and your hands to reach those that won't otherwise hear the gospel. That's why he leaves you. Because he needs you to do the work, just like that's how you found out. How do we know if no one tells us, if no one comes? So he leaves us here. It's a tough, fallen world. There will be problems. There will be problems. The last scripture, 16:33b, in this world, you may have a few problems. No. Golly, there's, it's, yeah, I don't like that interpretation. Let's find a soft one. You will have tribulation. You will. Not you may. Not sometimes it won't go right. Oh, I got up this morning intending to put a fresh contact in. So I threw yesterday's away. I open the medicine cabinet, and there's my box, and I pull it out, and I open the box, and there's not a, I wear monovision, so I just wear one. There's nothing in there. And I go, what kind of idiot would put a box back up in there empty? And then I said, who would play a practical joke on me? He's in town. Who would play a practical joke on me? My wife? And then I go back to, what kind of idiot puts the box? So, I don't know if it was you or your mom, but I want that contact. No, obviously, I put it back in there. And then what's funny, you like this black shirt? I was going to rock pink today. And hanging in my office in the church is my pink shirt. So, in between the praise and worship warm-up, me looking at my notes, I go back and my door's locked. So you get the Steve Jobs look today. And I've got a fresh pink shirt the next time I think I can rock pink. Oh, my gosh. But here's some things. The Bible tells us, fathers, Ephesians and Colossians, almost parallel, fathers, do not provoke your sons, your children, to anger. Do not provoke, Colossians says, your children to discouragement. There is an operating manual. It's in those pages. And we go, I've done that. How do I put the genie back in the jar? I've done that. I've discouraged him. I've made him angry. But the tonic on that bruise for me is from Proverbs 22. Train a child up in the ways of the Lord, and when he is old, he will return. Good promise. Good promise. Can I play you a couple of videos and tie it all together? Okay, here we go. You ready? Ha ha! University of Texas. That's the field I didn't run up and down on a horse. I was in that stadium September 3rd or 4th, 2016, 10 months ago. As a matter of fact, this is true. All that other stuff, all the stuff about Jesus is true, but that stuff about me on the sports team is not. I have never been in that stadium and my horns lose, ever. So my whole college career and any time I've been in there, and on that September evening, when the team had beat us by 35 points, 2015, mercifully, I watched the first half on TV in Florida. My Horns beat in double overtime the Notre Dame Fighting Irish 50-47. 102,000 of my closest friends sat there and sweated with me. Think about that. 102,000 people ringing that field. Does anybody get hurt? What do we call those people? Spectators. They're watching. They know all about the game. They know all about the rule book. They aren't in the game. They're watching. I think it's funny that we call them fans, because that is, of course, short for fanatics. I plead guilty. I've got some orange stuff, don't I? If we were just that fanatical and just that crazy about Jesus, we could reach more people. But I'm not a guilt guy. But not too many people get hurt up there. They might twist their ankle coming down, but it's pretty cushy up there. And they got a cool soda pop and a hot dog, and they're watching the game. But as you get closer to the field, can we show them what happens? These people know the game. They're rooting them on. They want it to happen. Oh, cheerleaders. Oh, they didn't plan it. They need to pay attention, because what's on the field spills off. You can get hurt as you get up there next to the field. You decide you want to play. You practice. Oh, guys, pay attention. Oh, Gatorade. It happens. You're on the field. You're not. It's not supposed to come to you. And but you cross that 4-inch chalk line, all bets are off. Okay, in a minute. Oh, did you really want to hold that antenna and that microphone? You didn't plan on that. But you got bragging rights. You were at the game and you were close to the action. You weren't in the game, but you were close to the action. Here's what happens. Oh, my gosh. Frank Gifford, that great announcer, he's number 16. He's the glory boy. He's the Brady of yesteryear. Oh, watch out. There's Chuck. Oh, there he lays. We're going to see it again in full speed. Josh and I watch this for hours at a time. That when you're in the game, you got to pay attention. Look at this. There he is. He doesn't see Chuck up there. Boom. Okay. We're late in the game. The guy that hit him plays both ways back in that day. Every offensive play, every defensive play. Chuck Bednarik. Frank Gifford was the glory boy. 9 years, Pro Bowl. All pro. They gave it to him that year after getting hurt. He doesn't play another game. They think he's dead. They carry him off on a stretcher, and the players and the fans think he's dead because he hadn't moved yet. He misses a whole year. And you go, Charlie, I don't want to be adopted and get in the game like that. I don't want to. It hurts. I don't want to be. I don't want to get sidelined. You think Frank Gifford for the next two or three, he missed a whole year and a half, and then he plays for 3 more years, all pro again. You think he ever crossed that line and didn't look to see if, by the way, Chuck Bednarik's nickname was Concrete Charlie. You think he didn't look for him every time he got? I told you God names all of his children. You think he didn't look for him? That's Satan. That figuratively, he wants you out of the game. And he's going to do whatever he takes. He's going to attack your family. He's going to attack your finances. He's going to cripple your faith if he can. The minor stuff is locking your shirt away, giving you the wrong contact that you have to dig out of your bag, your travel bag. But it's all designed to keep you off the field. All of that. But you've been adopted in. And let's go ahead and show the next clip. 45 years ago as well. There you go. Josh isn't in here, but he is the Dolphins fan. This happened probably 10 years before he was born. Their undefeated season. The only undefeated season. Do you think these guys, when they got that Super Bowl ring, that they worried about the bruises and the broken bones and the massages and the... Oh, no. They had victory. And that's what we have. We're adopted into victory. We've already won. I've read this. It doesn't end well for Satan. He'll torment you. He did me after I got saved. He said, Charlie, God can't love you. You had an automobile accident. And killed a pedestrian. He can't love you. And you start to doubt. And then somebody says, have you read Revelations 20:10? And the devil was cast into the endless lake of fire where he is tormented forever and ever. And I went, I win. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what type of father you had or didn't have. I just know that the daddy of this universe beckons you. I think that he smiles at the mere mention of your name. He knows it's hard. He knows there's trials, but he has provided victory at the tail end. Would you stand with me as we close?